7 after the hour on Morning Air, you'll recognize this prayer. You may have already prayed it this morning. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, rule and guide, amen. That's the guardian angel prayer, inviting our guardian angels to come along with us each day. One of the supernatural treasures that you and I can take with us any place to tell us more about those supernatural treasures that we can really unpack anywhere at any time. Lisa Mladenik is joining us, an author and a speaker who does a number of presentations all over the country for catechists, inspiring talks on women's issues, on Marian spirituality. Her book, Heads Bowed, Prayers for Catholic School Days, is a full school year's worth of prayers for children and is designed to be used and has been used and is used in Catholic schools and parishes and homeschools. Lisa, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, John. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We pray that guardian angel prayer many times during the day because we need that. If it's resisting temptation or just going into a difficult meeting or whatever it might be, your guardian angel is always there. And perhaps we don't look at it as a supernatural treasure, but indeed it is. What are some of the others that we can unlock on a daily basis?
Well, I want to take apart some pieces of the sign of the cross because it's something that we do almost as if we're flapping our hands in the wind. We forget that it's a spiritual treasure, that there's so much more to it that once we realize it. I was having some coffee with some ladies after Mass yesterday, and we were talking about this, and I almost feel now that I'm a little bit more aware that there are drums beating when I do the sign of the cross, like it's bum 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 bum, because it is so powerful.
Right.
I have a few quotes to share, but one of them, which I couldn't find again, and maybe you know where it's from, it might even be the Catechism, is that the sign of the cross stops all sorcery. It may have been one of the saints, but Bert Gezzi, who's, you know, you may be familiar, you're probably very familiar with him, an author and an editor, a wonderful Catholic man, gave an interview to EWTN, and he was saying, it's a confession of faith. Of course, the sign of the cross, it's the center of our lives, that cross of Christ. It's a renewal of our baptism. It's our mark of discipleship. And there's a lot in the Bible about people being marked, being protected from evil, being marked as saints, or being marked with a sign of faith. It's an acceptance of suffering. We say again, I accept the cross, a defense against evil and a victory over self-indulgence. And ever since I read that, I realized that there are times when we get assaulted in our thoughts. Our imaginative faculty can be used by God to inspire us, to draw us closer to Him, but we can also get assaulted there where we have, you know, pretty ugly thoughts can assail us right before Holy Communion, or after something happens that's upsetting, our thoughts can get dragged into sort of a dark place. But if I stop, and even in my mind, if I'm somewhere where it's not necessarily comfortable to do a nice, reverent sign of the cross, I'll just do one in my mind. It stops that. It really does. It is a spiritual treasure. And when we do that, we also, one thing that's biblical is that, and I love Dr. Shree's book, Dr. Edward Shree, The Biblical Roots of the Mass. He talks about the marking, the signs on, you know, the door posts at Passover and the saints marked with that sign on their forehead. And he talks about coming into the presence of God with the sign of the cross as well. And I have a great quote for you. This is from St. John Chrysostom, and I won't read the whole thing. But he says, when you make the sign of the cross, arm yourself with a saintly boldness and reinstall your soul in its old liberty, for you are not ignorant that the cross is a prize beyond price. And toward the end, he says, nothing impure will dare to molest you on seeing the weapon which overcometh all things.
That's beautiful. Lisa Mladenik this morning, we're looking at some of the supernatural treasures you can take with you anywhere. One, of course, is the sign of the cross. We're blessed to have priests in our parish who have catechized on the sign of the cross. And when we make the sign of the cross in our parish, it's very deliberate, and we'll do it now. This is how it goes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you really unpack the power of that cross, which How many times do you use that, Lisa Maladnik, when you're tempted? Do you do the sign of the cross when you drive by a Catholic church? Many of us do that. There's so many ways that we can use the sign of the cross during the course of the day.
Yeah, whenever I feel anxious, if anxiety strikes,
there you go.
A nice reverent sign of the cross. And that signing of the cross, we're drawing into God's presence and we're calling on his name. When you call on someone's name in the Bible, you are calling them into your presence.
Right.
And so this idea, I'm reading a great book by Terry Barber about evangelization, and he talks about living in the presence of God. If we want to be impactful evangelists, if we want to have that readiness to witness to the gospel and to live in virtue, we have to be living in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And publicly as well, be demonstrative about our faith. As we talk about unlocking the supernatural treasures that you can take with you anywhere, where do you do the sign of the cross? Do you do the sign of the cross publicly? Do you do it when you drive by a Catholic church? In doing so, is that a witness to your faith? Do people know you're Catholic? When do you use the sign of the cross? Also, when do you pray to your guardian angel in the course of the day? I'd like to hear your stories as we talk with Lisa Maladnik this morning. Our number on the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How often do you make the sign of the cross? Why do you use it? Do you speak to your guardian angel every day? I'd like to hear your stories at 888-914-9149. Also, talk about our guardian angel. We know that the guardian angel is there with us, but guardian angels sometimes get ignored in the course of the day because we get so wrapped up in what we're doing.
Yeah, you know, long ago, John, it's so funny. I was trying to write a mystery novel, and I had this heroine who had this relationship with her guardian angel where she could actually, you know, converse with her guardian angel. And so I went to our seminary library, and I pulled out a whole bunch of books, or the librarian, the wonderful librarian, pulled them all out on angelology. And I'd never even heard that word before.
Angelology?
It's a real science within the church, angelology.
Wow.
All the stuff that, you know, from all the great saints and theologians, they were really interesting books. And some of the tidbits that I sort of retained over the years were that every angel created by God, of course, they're all created by God, is pure spirit. And each one is completely individual. You know, they are persons. And so because they're pure spirits, each one is its own species. That's how unique. I mean, it's really something that's hard to get your head around at first, but each one is completely unique spirit. These are pure, holy warrior spirits. I don't mean that they're mm-hmm. warlike. They're
right.
Peaceful, beautiful. They behold the presence of God. But they are with you as protectors and guides all throughout your life, from the moment of your birth until you enter heaven. That angel does not leave your side. And so one of the angelologists said, or in fact, I think some of the saints may have said this, that they love to be invited along. So when you say your guardian angel prayer, you are inviting your angel along, and you get closer and closer. The more you live in the presence of God, that angel, which is also a messenger of God and speaks mm-hmm. words of encouragement into your soul as you fight against your sins and all of that. And when you encounter discouragement, you can have that conversation with your guardian angel.
Right.
And
right.
I really believe, I know some people will name their guardian angels. I didn't ever feel comfortable doing that. But I do love talking to my guardian angel. And sometimes, I don't know if it's my imagination, but I almost feel like we are in a conversation of sorts.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that years ago, our family had suffered a series of tragedies. Several people, you know, within my family and friends, there had been a number of deaths within a short period of time. And I remember walking through Brooklyn, where we lived at the time, very busy place, and I was a shell. And I remember feeling at that time that Jesus was just wearing me like a garment, like I was empty inside. And I was, if I reached for a doorknob and turned it was Jesus turning the doorknob, because I just had nothing. I was so wrung out. And I was walking down a very busy street, going to cross at a corner. And I looked left, and I looked right, and I stepped off the curb, and something pulled me back. I felt a hand on my left shoulder just pulling me back. And as I pulled back away from my foot was literally in the air about to go off the curb. A city bus flew by my nose so close, my hair blew back.
Yeah.
And I turned around to see who had saved my life, and there was nobody there. There wasn't anyone within 20, 30 feet of me, and nobody was looking at me.
Yep,
nobody even noticed it.
Your guardian angel.
I felt that warmth on my shoulder for some time afterward. And I've known every time you start talking guardian angel stories, somebody else will pop up with another. And I have
Oh, absolutely.
Do you? What do you have one?
They're every single time. I've got a bus story like that and so many others. They happen all the time. Lisa Maladnik with us at 17 After, talking about the supernatural treasures that you can take with you any place. One is the sign of the cross. We're asking, when do you make the sign of the cross? Outside of your house? Is it when you go by a Catholic church? Is it at the beginning of a difficult task? And also, when do you invite your guardian angel? We all invite our guardian angels to be with us every single day, but how do you do that? We're sharing the stories at 888-914-9149. Terry's listening on the Presence Radio Network in Kingman, Maine. Terry, good morning. When do you make the sign of the cross?
Every time I go past the Catholic Church.
There you go, Terry.
If I get strange looks, they're like, what are you doing that for?
No, you're evangelizing. Yeah, you want those strange looks because you never know that strange look could be that stranger's guardian angel at work saying, got to get back into the confessional. Remember that, you know, come on. Yeah, so you're evangelizing through that sign of the cross, Terry.
Good.
Fabulous.
And
thanks.
Can I tell you about my guardian angel story?
Oh, please.
All right. I live up in northern Maine, and we have lots of deer. And I say my guardian angel prayer every morning on the way to work, on the way home from work, along with all my rosary and everything else. Well, the other night I'm coming home from work, and sure enough, I'm coming around a corner behind a great big snowbank. Here comes a great big deer. I'm like, no, dang.
Whoa.
All of a sudden, he stopped dead, and I went right past him, and I know that was my guardian angel.
No question about it. Yeah, we've all had those deer stories. Yeah, absolutely. Terry, thanks, and thanks for listening on the Presence Radio Network. We're so blessed to be across the great state of Maine. John is in Laurel Springs, New Jersey, listening to Relevant Radio 640 in Philadelphia this morning. John, good morning. When do you make the sign of the cross? When do you invoke your guardian angel?
One of the times that I do it very, very regularly, if it comes up, is whenever I'm passing someone that is either stalled out on the side of the road, or if there's an accident where there's an ambulance and cars have been in an accident, I always make the sign of the cross as I'm driving by and say a short little prayer that everything will be okay with them.
That's wonderful. You know, something, and this came from listening to Relevant Radio for a very long time, and you may remember, or maybe this is before you were listening, Father Rocky would travel all over the country, and he has his little portable recorder with him, and no matter where he was in front of a group of people, he would pray a Hail Mary for a specific intention, and we would run those here. And as a result, every time, it's funny that you mentioned that, I hear a siren or whatever, I do that silent Hail Mary that Father Rocky conditioned me into. To just, you know, using, again, the power of prayer, all these great spiritual tools that we have, be it a sign of the cross or just a quick prayer that you pray when you hear a siren or an EMT or a police car. John, thank you for listening to Relevant Radio in the Delaware Valley. And Lisa Maladnik, thank you for inspiring a great conversation on some of the supernatural treasures that we can take with us anywhere on this Monday morning at 20 minutes after the hour. Lisa online at AmazingCatechists.com. Lisa, have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, John.
20 minutes after the hour, meet the speed skater turned nun. That's coming up in the next half hour, plus homily highlights and Glenn's Story Corner as we continue on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.